Seated. Nothing like a little drama to get the Word of God clear across. Our opening lesson says they came in the heat of the day, and so here we are. Quite by chance, actually, not planned. I don't have the power to be able to call down heat from the heavens. If I did, this wouldn't be here right now. But here we are in our beginning of our summer season, a little more laid back during this 10:30 time for worship. But still, the gospel is present to us and ready to be preached. That's what Jesus is telling those first disciples. He's telling them that they have something to do. They have been with him, walking with him, talking with him, learning from him, and now comes the test. They are to go out into the world, and they are to preach the good news. The kingdom of God is near. And they are to perform the signs of the kingdom of God. They are to heal the sick and raise the dead and cure the lepers and do all of those things that were listed there in that gospel lesson. The part of it we all think is really cool. You know, go out, preach the good news. That's great work. But what we don't like is what follows. Because almost immediately, Jesus tells them, if they are successful at what they're doing, people will hate you because of it. Why is that? Why is that? It is perhaps because, after all, preaching the kingdom of God is telling the world that its values and its ways of doing things are a little askew from the way God intended everything to be. That's what St. Paul truly understands when he is talking to us in the letter to the Romans. He is making very clear that the grace of God comes to us without desert. I don't mean what it follows after dinner. What I'm saying is that we do not deserve the grace of God, the mercy, the forgiveness of God. We cannot earn it. It is a gift that is given from God, plain and simple. But how do we get that gift? Maybe that's a question we might want to ask. And so Paul undertakes in this great letter to the Romans a great feat. And really, to understand Paul's letter to the Romans, which we will hear from frequently for the next several weeks, we need to understand that St. Paul is making his case. He was a Roman citizen, after all, so he understood the empire very well. And in fact, one of the treasures of the Roman Empire was its emphasis, at least at this point in history, on the rule of law. And so, St. Paul is acting like a lawyer. I had a bunch of them at the 8 o'clock service, so I could point them out. Do I have any attorneys here in our midst? Any attorneys? Oh, we've got, okay, a couple. So you know what I'm talking about. You have to lay out your case. And who do you lay out your case in front of but somebody who has the power to decide? Somebody who is either judge and or jury. Now, in our culture, we think that's really interesting because all of us have access to the courts. Simply by being present to the court, you can plead your case. You can go file suit, do whatever you need to do at whatever level is appropriate, and you can start a legal proceeding. Now, to understand what Paul is getting at, we need to understand that in the ancient world, it wasn't so easy. In fact, in order to get justice in the ancient world, you had to get your case in front of the king. Now, the king wasn't somebody you could easily approach. So in order to have your case adjudicated in front of the king, you needed to know somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who could get you in. You needed access. We do that in our political world today. It's one of those most prized things, to have access to somebody who's in power. Access to the president, access to the governor, access to some important government official. Well, in order to get justice in the ancient world, you needed access to none other than the king himself. So Paul makes the argument in this letter that we do have an advocate that can get us before the king, before the high throne of heaven, and that advocate is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Hey, what better advocate to have than the Son of the King? That's what Paul is trying to get across. that we can do what we can. We can find grace, mercy, and forgiveness because we have an advocate with the Father who is none other than Jesus the Christ, who is none other than the very Son of God, the great High King. And then he says even further, if you need to know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody, even then, perhaps we are not having a conversation with Jesus in person, in the flesh, as it were. And so, as Jesus promised us, as he walked among us, he said, I will send you still another advocate. That's why that word is used, you see, because it is the Holy Spirit that dwells among us, that lives in our hearts, that creates this community we call the church. It is the Holy Spirit that acts as our advocate. It is the Holy Spirit who knows somebody, who knows somebody. And that somebody is none other than Jesus himself. And so, Paul lays out his argument. We can get to the throne of grace. We can stand before God the Father because we have an advocate with the Father who is none other than the very Son of God. That's cool. But why do we need this access? Why do we need to plead our case before God? Because we are sinners, plain and simple. Paul lays out this argument. He says, all fall short of the glory of God. And so none of us has direct access, at least not before we see and talk to Jesus, our Savior. And it is in the person of Jesus that we have the access we so earnestly desire. And that is given to us in the power of the Holy Spirit. But for what purpose? Again, St. Paul lays it out. Eventually in the letter to the Romans, we'll get to it, but it comes to us in a very quick way today when we listen to the gospel lesson. For in the Gospel of Matthew, that rather lengthy story, we hear how Jesus calls those 12 among his closest associates, his closest disciples. And as we noted already, they ate with him and talked with him and walked with him and recreated with him and did all kinds of things. They got to really know Jesus. And so he sends them out. Now, he sends them out. Who else does he send out but us? For you see, that's how the kingdom of God will come to the ends of the earth. No one else has that responsibility. Only those who have been forgiven. Only those that have been in the very presence of God through the advocacy of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have been brought out of the world and brought here so that we can hear the word of God, so that we can be strengthened by that word, so we can dine at God's table. We can eat the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ himself and become present to the world the way Jesus is present to the world. That we carry in our hearts the very Spirit of God that is the advocate not only for us but for the entire world. And so God bids us not to come here only because he likes us, not to come here only because somehow we were chosen and special. Oh, we are all those things, and God truly likes us. Truly, God loves us so much that he would give his only son that we could live. We know this. But it's all for a purpose. So that we would go out and proclaim the kingdom. So you see, friends, if we just come here to sing and worship and celebrate, we come here to get something from God. We come here to get the word. We come here to get the sacrament. We come here to get some sense of consolation and peace. Now, that's only half the story. For God gives us those things to equip us for the work of God's mission in the world. To equip us for the ministry to which he has called us. And that is none other than to bring the power of the kingdom of God to bear on the issues and problems of our world. Now you'd think the world would be running to that. Jesus says, if you do this, don't expect them to like you for it. Because we need to remember that the kingdom of God is different than the kingdom of this world. And the values of this world are different than the values of the kingdom of God. And so when we begin proclaiming and living out those values in our daily lives, there will be people who will not like what they see, because that alone will convict them of their own sin and of the evil that exists in our world. We are called together as God's people. We are called to this place to hear the word of God and to be nourished in word and sacrament, so that we can go out and proclaim that kingdom. And we need not expect that everyone will love us for it. In fact, remember the Beatitudes. The very last one, as in the same Gospel of Matthew, says, "Blessed are you when they persecute you and hate you because of me." That's the summary statement. Notice it always comes at the end. So we can't count on the world wanting us and loving us because we are followers of Jesus. Because we are followers of Jesus, we need not to be surprised when people want to keep us away. When people want to be mean. Something at the heart of us. And in fact, how do we proclaim the kingdom of God? Are we taking the nourishment and the strength? Are we taking the forgiveness we have already received from the great high king and taking it out to a broken world? When we do that, we will be fulfilling our mission. We will be doing what Jesus sent his disciples to do. In the old liturgy, long before it was in English, the last thing a deacon would say at the very end of worship was, "Ite missa est." Go, it has been sent. It doesn't mean go, the Mass is ended. That's the way it's often translated. But go, it has been sent. That's what the Latin means. What has been sent? Well, on a practical level, it means that the Holy Eucharist was sent with the deacons out to those that were alone in the world, those who were sick, those who were in prison, those who could not join the community to hear the word and share the table. But also, what is being sent is the very presence of Christ. And that, my friends, is you. In the very end of the liturgy, when we are told to go out into the world, to love and to serve the Lord, it is so that others can see and know and believe that Jesus truly is our advocate, that Jesus is the one who pleads our case, and that in the spirit and life of Christ, we are made whole and we are saved. That is what we are called to do. To go from this place, yes, even when it's hot outside, and proclaim the goodness of God, the cool, refreshing water of life that nourishes us always.